Questions and answers. These are supposed to be done on the first Sunday night of every month. This is the second Sunday night. So the preacher has lost his mind. No, I wasn't here last week. And there are some individuals who told me, man, we look forward to those question and answer times. So I decided that we wouldn't skip question and answers, and we'd go ahead and have a lesson about that. Folks, if you ever have a Bible question, now note that, a Bible question, you put that in the question box in the foyer, and I will at some point do my best to get to those. We have about 20 more questions that we need to answer. The one that we're going to talk about tonight was one of the very first that was ever asked, and it's going to take the entirety of the hour to do that. So just kick back and we'll enjoy ourselves. Question and answers. Folks, a question is extremely easy to ask, isn't it? Just takes a few words. Preacher! Oftentimes it is difficult to answer, isn't it? Take, for instance, this question right here. Child runs up to mama. Mama, 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 where does babies come from? There you go. Easy question. But when you're talking to a little one, that's a difficult answer, isn't it? Oftentimes individuals will run up to us and they'll say, hey, I heard something about you guys down there at that Church of Christ. You think you're the only ones going to heaven, don't you? Is that true? Folks, that's an easy, easy question. But it is a difficult question to answer. So those are the fun things that I get to go through with regard to these question and answers. You just get to ask, and it is up to me to find the answer. Tonight's question is very, very interesting. Like I said, it was one of the very first that was ever asked. And here's the question. Can you discuss and or refute Joel Osteen's popular doctrine of speaking your blessings into existence? He has a new book entitled I Declare that talks about this doctrine exclusively. Folks, there we are. Now, let me show you something. Here's the book. I had to go out and spend $12.75. This is an expensive question, too. Okay? On something that I probably would not have gone out and purchased. But here it is. Have you read it, Vic? The whole way through, okay? I may not know what I'm talking about, but I've read that book from start to finish, okay? Let's talk about a little bit of background information. Okay, Joel Osteen, we've all heard of him. We've seen him on television, have we not? Who is this young man, folks? He was born in Houston, Texas, March 5th, 1963. He's just 4 years younger than I am. Okay, 4 years younger than I am. In fact, I think he just turned 50 this year, and he was talking about that on a website or something not long ago. His parents, his dad's name was John Osteen. John Osteen no longer lives. He has passed away. His mother is Dodie Osteen, and she continues to live in Houston, Texas at this present time. Joel Osteen is a senior pastor of the Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas. Folks, this is a church that was established, founded by Joel's father, John Osteen. Okay? So Joel is warming at the fires of another individual, specifically his daddy. His wife's name is Victoria. It is rumored that she was, many, many years ago, a member of the Lord's church. A member of the Church of Christ. Isn't that interesting? They have two children. Jonathan, the son, and Alexandra, the daughter. He is not only the pastor of Lakewood Church, he's a televangelist, and he is the author of numerous, numerous books. One of them, the one we're going to talk about tonight, I Declare. Let me go through some introductory remarks with regard to our topic. And this will take just a little bit of time, okay? So just get yourselves ready. There are numerous types of televangelists, folks, aren't there? In fact, the way I look at them and the way I view them, there are three predominant kinds. Number one, what I refer to as denominational televangelists. Here are individuals who are members of a particular denominational group. And folks, they believe their doctrines. And when they get on television, they proclaim their doctrines. There's nothing flamboyant about them. There's nothing hidden about them. There's nothing special about them. They're just there to proclaim their denominational doctrines and positions. There's a second kind that I refer to as motivational speakers. Individuals whose message is all positive, is it not? And the full intent of their message is to move men in positive ways. And then there are those televangelists who preach what is known as a prosperity gospel. Oftentimes the prosperity gospel sounds something like this. You need to sow your seed faith. You think, well, what is that? Well, usually that's about $1,000. Isn't it? It's about $1,000. If you and what's interesting, it's to be sown to this man's particular ministry, isn't it? If you'll sow $1,000 to my ministry, guess what? God's harvest, God's abundance, God's wealth, God's prosperity is going to be poured out all over you, and you'll have nothing else to worry about. The prosperity gospel. Joel Osteen. What is he, folks? He is a motivational speaker more than he is ever to be considered a minister. He is a positive thinker more than he will ever be a preacher. And he talks about riches a whole lot more than he ever talks about redemption. Interesting, isn't it? Folks, the Bible has a lot to say about false teachers. Did you know that? When we talk about false teachers, many individuals get mad because they act as though the Bible doesn't say a word about it. Folks, Jesus, in His Sermon on the Mount, had something to say about false teachers, did He not? Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Peter in 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 1 also warned about false teachers. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, listen to this, who privily bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. John, the apostle of love, warns about false teachers in 1 John 4 just 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they're of God, because many, many false prophets are gone out into the world. Folks, you and I better be aware of the spirits, haven't we? We better test every doctrine and every teaching that comes our way. And Joel Osteen is not above being put to the test, is he? Folks, when you test Joel Osteen, you are going to find that he is a false teacher. And there are several reasons why he is a false teacher. Let me give you just one or two of them. One reason is because Joel Osteen refuses to teach the whole counsel of God. Folks, the Apostle Paul was at a little place called Miletus, and he sent for the elders of the church at Ephesus. They join him, and in Acts 20, he records what is known as his farewell address to those individuals. In verses 26 and 27, he speaks these words. Wherefore I take you to record this day, that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. Folks, if a man is going to be a faithful minister, if a man is going to be a true minister of Jesus Christ, he must preach the whole gospel. Now, there are things in there that are lovely. There are things in there that are wonderful. There are things in there that individuals would just ooh and ah over wanting. Folks, there's some things in the gospel that are hard. And there are some things in the gospel of Christ that are ugly, aren't they? And there are some things in the gospel of Jesus Christ that are difficult. And a man has just as much responsibility to preach those as he does the good. But Joel Osteen refuses to preach the whole counsel of God. What do you mean, Vic? Let me give you a couple of statements that he's made. One of the statements that he made is this: I focus more on the goodness of God than I do upon the sin of mankind. Folks, that's unbelievable, is it not? What is man's biggest problem? Sin, is it not? And guess what? Doesn't sin touch every individual's life? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3, verse 23. There is not a person on the face of the earth who will not sin and transgress against the Almighty God at some point, my friends. Question: why was Jesus sent into this world? Folks, it was to deal with man's sin problem, is it not? Listen to John in 1 John 1, 2, verses 1 and 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now listen to this. Who is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the world. Folks, the very reason God sent His Son to this world was to die a human sacrifice for sin, isn't it? Now think about that. Man's sin problem is the number one problem of man. God sent His Son into the world to deal with that problem. Thirdly, it is the grace of God that forgives us of sin, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Ephesians 1:7. And then Joel Osteen stands up and says this: I don't care what the Bible says about sin, I'm not preaching on sin. Folks, how can a man be a true minister of the gospel of Christ and not preach on sin? Now watch this next one. Joel Osteen says that he will never, never, never preach about hell, fire, and brimstone. Now, it's interesting, in an interview that he was giving on one occasion, he made this admission. He said, my daddy was a fire, hell, and brimstone preacher, but not me. He said, and I will never preach those kind of sermons. Never preach that. Now, folks, why is that so interesting? Here's why it's interesting. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, spoke more about Gehenna, hell, than any preacher in the New Testament. Did you know that? Think about that for a minute. Jesus Christ talked more about hell than any other preacher. And yet Joel Osteen, who says that he's following in the footsteps of Jesus, won't mention hell. How do you do that? Jesus said, fear not them which kill the body but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Matthew 10, verse 28. On one occasion, Jesus was talking to the scribes and to the Pharisees. And I want you to listen to what He had to say. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how shall ye escape the damnation of hell? Matthew 23:33. Folks, I don't know about you. That's strong words, isn't it? Here Jesus was talking to religious leaders of the day, and He calls them snakes, vipers, and says, how are you going to escape hell? Folks, they were leading individuals to hell. They were making individuals twofold more the child of the devil than they themselves. And they were condemning themselves to a devil's hell. And Jesus made that known. If I'm going to preach like Jesus, guess what I have to preach on? I got to preach on hell at some point. And yet, Mr. Osteen says, I refuse to preach about hell. He will not preach the whole counsel of God. Secondly, Mr. Osteen is a false teacher because he opens the gates of heaven to just about anybody. Did you know that? Folks, I don't have these clips on my overhead tonight, okay? But if you go into the website in a couple of days, I've got documented where he makes these statements about these particular individuals. Number one, he says that it is possible for Muslims to go to heaven. He will not condemn them. He says, I don't know their heart. Only God knows their heart. And God will be their judge. Unbelievable, isn't it? Folks, I know exactly what Muslims teach. And Muslims do not teach salvation through Jesus Christ. And yet salvation only comes through Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14, verse 6. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Here is a group of individuals who deny that Jesus is the Son of the living God, deny that He died upon the cross of Calvary, deny that He's the sacrifice for mankind, deny the power of His precious blood in our lives, and yet you tell me they can be saved. Folks, if that's the case, they ain't nobody going to be lost. You know that? Watch this next one. He makes an admission that he believes that even homosexuals will go to heaven. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor covetous, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. There's homosexuals, folks. Abusers of themselves with mankind shall inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10. It's not possible for a practicing homosexual to enter into the kingdom of God. It's an impossibility, folks. And yet he says, oh no, I believe homosexuals can get into heaven. Here's the kicker for me too. He believes that all a man has to do in order to be saved is to say the sinner's prayer, folks. That's a popular doctrine today, isn't it? All you have to do is say that you believe Jesus is the Son of God. Bow your head and say something like this. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I believe in you. And I commit my life to you. Forgive me of my transgressions in Jesus' name. Amen. And guess what individuals say? Ooh, he's a Christian. There's Joel Osteen's path of salvation, folks. And yet that is not Bible doctrine, is it? Acts chapter 2 tells us exactly what those individuals did on the very first day the gospel was preached. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And they that gladly received His word were baptized. And the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Acts 2, 37, 38, and 41. Folks, that's what a man must do in order to be saved from his sins. Joel Osteen is a wolf in sheep's clothing, folks. That's all it is to it. He dresses pretty nice, doesn't he? I've watched him on television. Got a beautiful head of hair. I'm serious. White teeth. Wears beautiful suits. I mean, he looks like $1 million, doesn't he? And when he talks, how does he talk? Oh, he talks kindly. Softly, does it? Thirdly, everything he says is non-judgmental. I don't want to judge you. I don't want to put you down. I don't want to make you feel bad. I want you to leave feeling wonderful about you, yourself, me, the whole world. Folks, people love that stuff. You know that? They love it. And individuals, when they hear that, boy, they just run to that stuff, don't they? But watch this. At the outset of every service at Lakewood Church, they say a pledge, don't they? Old Joe will pick up that big old Bible he's got. He will tell everybody, raise your hand. Put your Bible in your hand and raise your hand. We're going to say the Bible pledge. Here it is. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today, listen to this. Today, I will be taught what? The Word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same in Jesus' name. Wonderful pledge, isn't it? Don't you get about 15,000 people saying that all at one time? It's pretty potent, isn't it? What does that make you think? Here's your minister standing up before you, making you say this pledge. What do you think you're about to receive? You think you're about to receive the living Word of the Almighty God, do you not? And I've already showed you, folks, that that is not the case. He won't preach the whole counsel of God. He'll open the doors wide to any human being upon the face of the earth and refuse to condemn any. And he will tell individuals you can be saved simply by saying the sinner's prayer. And yet he tells those people, you're about to receive the Word of God. Folks, he is a wolf in sheep's clothing. That's all it is to you. Now, all that's introduction. We're supposed to be going home, aren't we? Here's the book. Okay, you've probably seen it at Walmart, $12.75. Okay? Wait a few months, you can go to Amazon.com, get it for a buck. Okay, so just hold on. The title of it's 31 Promises to Speak Over Your Life. Okay, and that's what it looks like. I told you he's a good-looking guy, isn't he? And he is a good-looking guy. There's no doubt about that. I believe he's a nice guy. In the book, he has 31 declarations. And he wants individuals to say. Now the reason he chose 31 is because the longest months of the year have 31 days, don't they? And he wants you to speak one of these each day of the month that you're reading his book. Okay? Only about 3 pages as far as a chapter is concerned in the book. So it's a relatively short book. Now, there are about 5 or 6 different kinds of declarations that are in the book, okay? And folks, not all of these declarations are bad declarations, okay? First declaration, declaring a promise of God. On day 2, here's what he declares. I declare I will experience God's faithfulness. I will not worry, I will not doubt. I will keep my trust in Him, knowing that He will not fail me. Is that true for a child of God? Absolutely. Folks, you just write down Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, and that's exactly what our Lord has said. I will never leave thee, nor what? Nor forsake thee. Folks, our God is faithful, and He will stand for a child of the living God. So if that's the only promise, the only declaration you read, you would think what? What's wrong with that? Sounds good to me. Second kind of declaration. God-given responsibilities. There are things in God's Word that He commands us to do, does He not? Listen to this one. I declare I am grateful for who God is in my life and what He does. I will not take for granted the people, the opportunities, and the favor He has blessed me with. Should any of us ever do that? No. Folks, God has blessed us beyond measure, has He not? And every day of our lives, you and I need to get on our knees and we need to thank God for His wonderful blessings, should we not? And that's what He's saying. I will declare that I'm going to be grateful in everything, give thanks. this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. A third kind of declaration. Facts from the Word of God. Listen to what he says. I declare I am special and extraordinary. I am not average. I have been custom made. I am one of a kind. I thought I'd hear an amen on that last statement. Dick's one of a kind. Folks, aren't we all? Folks, you take that passage, Psalm 139, 13 through 16, and guess what? David talks about how he was fearfully and wonderfully made in the womb and how God knew him and made him. Folks, God knows every one of us specifically, everything there is to know about us, and there is no other person made like me upon the face of the earth. Yes, we are unique, one-of-a-kind creatures. Notice this next one. A declaration involving the manipulation of the Word of God. Now those first three sounded good, didn't they? Talking about a promise from God's Word, talking about a responsibility from God's Word, talking about a fact from God's Word. But sometimes He wants us to make a declaration, and yet it is a manipulation of what God's Word says. Watch this. I declare there is an anointing of ease in my life. You ever heard that in your Bible? Any of you ever get an anointing of ease? Bet you wish you had. Now here's what happens, folks. He goes to Psalm 23, verse 5. And the text says what? Thou anointest my head with oil. And he says that is the anointing of ease. I'm believing. Now, so that you can understand this a little better, I thought I might want to take a quote out of this book. How about that? And here it is. You ready? Oil makes things flow. Whenever there is friction or things are stuck, oil is used to lubricate it and make it more fluid. That is what God is doing when He anoints your head with oil. He's making you slippery. David went on to say, because God has anointed me, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me wherever I go. That means things will be easier. Now watch this, folks. What you used to struggle with will no longer be a struggle. For no reason, people will want to be good to you. You will get breaks you didn't deserve. You will have ideas, wisdom, creativity, and you won't know where it came from. That's the oil God has put upon you. The anointing of ease. That's a direct quote, folks, from that book. Now, you think that appealed to an audience? Woo, give me some of that oil. You know it? Now, folks, what's interesting, you go read that text. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Folks, the whole psalm talks about a shepherd taking care of his what? His sheep. That's the context that it needs to stay in. No other. You don't just take a passage of Scripture, lift it out and say, okay, this has got to be the anointing of ease. Folks, that shepherd anointed the sheep's head with oil for a specific reason. And when you find out what that reason is, you'll see that Mr. Osteen has manipulated this text to make it say something that the psalmist never, ever, ever believed. In fact, wasn't the work of a shepherd a pretty hard work? If I was out there shepherding, I wouldn't anoint that sheep. I'd anoint myself with that oil of ease. Guarantee you that. But folks, those are what he does with some of the promises, some of these declarations. He just takes things out of context and makes them say things that God never intended for them to say. Sounds good, doesn't it? Appeals to the masses. But it's not the truth of God's Word at all. Folks, I talked about earlier that there are three or four different kinds of televangelists. And one of them is what I referred to as a motivational speaker. Folks, motivational speakers are positive thinkers. Okay, that's all they are, positive thinkers. And there's a technique of positive thinkers, and is referred to as positive affirmations. Okay? If you want positive things to happen in your life, what you need to do is you need to think positive thoughts, and you need to say positive things about your life, and all of those positive things will come to pass. That is the idea that Joel Osteen presents in this little book right here, I Declare. Look at one of the statements that he makes. You've got to send your word out in the direction you want your life to go. So if you want to go in a certain direction, then you need to speak words toward that direction. And throughout the whole book, folks, that's what all these declarations are all about. Getting your life to move in a certain way. Now, I'm about to go through several declarations that he has. We're just going to read them, one right after another. There's 13 of them, okay? Because I want you to see that that's his concept. But I want you to watch what happens, and then we'll come back at the end of it, and we'll talk about some things, okay? Here's his first declaration, day one. I declare God's incredible blessings over my life. Listen to this. I will see an explosion of God's goodness, a sudden, widespread increase. Folks, you need to read that book and look at some of the examples that he gives with regard to this declaration. There was a man, he just showed up one day on a church floor, and he wanted to contribute just an unbelievable sum of money to the church. Now, that doesn't happen every day, does it? And he said the reason this man came with all of this money is because he had gotten an inheritance from a relative that he didn't even know he had. You see, that's the what? That's the explosion of God's increase. There was a young man in the book he talks about, and he had a desire to go to college. So he goes to the college and he applies for a 2-year scholarship. And they tell him, sorry, we don't have any more 2-year scholarships available. So he leaves and he goes home. But guess what? He believes the declaration, doesn't he? I'm going to see an explosion in God's goodness. About 3 weeks later, he gets a call from the college, and guess what? There's a scholarship available. Not 2 years, 4. Wow. An explosion of God's goodness. Next, declaration number 2. I declare that God has a great plan for my life. Folks, keep that in mind, okay? This is where Joel Osteen hooks everybody. Okay? God has a great plan for my life. The plan for Joel Osteen's life, apparently, was that God would bless him with the Lakewood Church that has thousands and thousands and thousands of members and make him have the ability to spread his message throughout all the world. That must be God's plan for Joel Osteen's life, because that's what he's doing, folks. It's amazing, isn't it? Keep that in mind. He's going to come back to it in a minute. I declare God's dream for my life is coming to pass. Not only does he have a plan, but guess what? That plan right now is happening in my life. Well, I bet some of you don't like that, do you? Man, if this is God's plan, I don't know if I like that or not. Okay? Watch this next one. I declare unexpected blessings are coming my way. I will move forward from barely making it to having more than enough. God will open up supernatural doors to me. Day number 10. I declare that God will accelerate His plan for my life. As I put my trust in Him, I will accomplish my dreams faster than I thought possible. Tell you what, for some of us, He better hurry up. Isn't that true?
Notice the next one. I declare I will put actions behind my faith. I will not be passive or indifferent. I will demonstrate my faith, taking bold steps to move toward what God has put in my heart. Day 18. I declare breakthroughs are coming in my life. Sudden bursts of God's goodness. Not a trickle, not a stream, but a flood of God's power. A flood of healing, a flood of wisdom, a flood of favor. Folks, when God gets good with you, He is going to pour it all over you. It's unbelievable. Next affirmation. I declare God's supernatural power over my life. What I could not make happen on my own, God will make happen for me. Supernatural opportunities. Watch this. Healing, restoration, and breakthroughs are coming in my life. Are coming my way. Day 24. I declare I will speak only positive words of faith and victory over myself and my family and my future. Day 26. I declare I will choose faith over fear. I will meditate on what is positive and what is good about my situation. I will use my energy not to worry, but believe. Fear has no power or no part of my life. I will not dwell on negative, discouraging thoughts. My mind is set on what God says about me. I know His plan for me is success, victory, and what? Abundance. This is my declaration. Next one. I declare God is working all things together for my good. He has a master plan for my life. I see God's amazing plan taking me places I never dreamed of. This is my declaration. Next one. I declare God is going before me, making crooked places straight. He has already lined up right people, the right opportunities, and solutions to problems. Look at this. I ain't even had problems yet. He's already got them solved. Folks, I don't need anybody solving problems I don't have yet. Do you? That's what God's doing, He says. No person, no sickness, no disappointments can stop His plan. What He promised will come to pass. This is my declaration. Day 31, last one. I declare everything that doesn't line up with God's vision for my life is subject to change. Sickness, trouble, lack, mediocrity are not permanent. They are only temporary. I will not be moved by what I see, but what I know. I am a victor and never a victim. I will become all God has created me to be. This is my declaration. There they are, folks. Now what if, over the next half of a year, I took those declarations and that's what I preached on every Sunday night? Nah, let's change that. Every Sunday morning. You want to know something? This building would be full in just a short amount of time. Did you know that? People like this stuff. Now, here's what makes this hard, okay? I'm going to make some comments. There is a sense that some of what he is teaching is true, isn't it? The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23, verse 7. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it the heart are what? The issues of life. Proverbs 4, 23. Folks, there is a sense wherein the things that I tell myself, the things that I say, I can bring them to pass. Isn't that true? There have been little bitty children programmed from very young age to believe that they are dumb, that they are ignorant, that they are useless, that they are no good, that they will never be any count whatsoever, and that they are nothing more than a drain on society. And folks, guess what they grow up to be? They grow up to be a drain on society, don't they? Because they believe that stuff. Okay? Now the opposite is also true. There's also been children who've been told that they're useless, worthless, no good, never amount to anything, and yet they never what? They never believed that, did they? They always believed there was something special about you. They always believed there was something good. They always believed they could be successful. And guess what? They became successful. There is a sense in which some of what Mr. Osteen is teaching is true, isn't it? Here's the problem. Mr. Osteen believes
in individual predestination. Okay? If you really get behind his teaching, that's what he teaches. Did you hear some of the things that he says? God has a master plan for my life. Didn't he say that? I heard that 2 or 3 times. So in other words, the day that God created you, he had a definite plan of exactly what he wanted you to be, do, and become. And in Joel's mind, guess what? It is always successful. It is always prosperous. It is always an abundant life. It is always overcoming sickness, overcoming obstacles, overcoming problems, and being victorious in life. Never, ever does it end bad. In fact, what he says is, just look at what? Just look at me. I'm living the dream. And he believes God's bringing this to pass, folks. And that's one of the problems of this teaching. Individual predestination. God has a plan, and if you'll work with God, if you'll trust God, if you think he can work supernaturally in your life, if you believe he'll bring those abundant breakthroughs, if you believe that he'll speed things up, hurry things along, guess what? Everything's going to be wonderful for you. People leave that building every Sunday. You know what they say? I can't wait till God blesses me. That's what they think in their life, don't they? Every one of them. Folks, notice this next point. Joel makes it sound like God will intervene in our lives every time in order to make our lives abundant and prosperous. Isn't that what it sounds like? Listen to this quote. This comes from page 162, 163. If you've dealt with long-term sickness, depression, or addiction, it may seem like it's never going to change. But when you speak words of faith, something happens in the unseen realm. Mountains crumble. The forces of darkness are defeated. The enemy trembles. You got cancer? Start speaking words of faith. If you're an addict, just start speaking words of faith. If your business is about to go under, just speak words of faith. If your marriage is horrible and you've got a husband who abuses you, just speak words of faith. And guess what? God's got a plan. If you trust him, he'll work that plan just as quickly as he can. Folks, there's a couple of things about that. Number one, Jesus did not promise us lives where we lay on beds of roses, did he? And he never promised us easy trails all downhill, did he? In John 6:33, Jesus says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye may have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation," he says. Folks, there's sometimes you and I are going to experience great difficulties in this life. Here's something that's interesting. You show me one apostle who lived the kind of life that Joel Osteen boasts about. There's not one, folks. If there were one that may be close, maybe John, who tradition says lived out his life and died of natural causes, every one of the others went to their grave as a martyr for our Lord. Many of them suffering in prison. Many of them suffering horrible things at the hands of men because they were Christians. None of them rich, none of them wealthy, none of them abundant, none of them riding around in Cadillacs. None of them, folks. They were lucky to have what they had. Another point we need to understand is this. God does not remove every obstacle from our lives. Oh, Paul, if there's anybody who wanted something removed from his life, it was him, wasn't it? 3 times he went to God desiring for that thorn in the flesh to be removed. And what did God say? No! Ain't going to do it. You just walk around with that thorn, boy.
That's exactly what he told him, did he not? He said, I will not remove it. But he says, my grace is sufficient for thee. And Paul understood that. And Paul accepted that. Therefore, I will glory in my infirmities, he says. I will glory in my reproaches. I will glory in my afflictions. For when I am weak, then am I made strong. Folks, a strong person oftentimes is the weakest looking person, isn't it? You don't have to have abundance. You don't have to have prosperity. You don't have to have all the things of this life. You don't have to have a successful business. Folks, you can be a pauper and still be victorious in Christ Jesus, can't you? Here's the biggest problem that I see with this book. And it's what I refer to as false hopes. Okay? False hopes. Watch this. What if you don't recover from cancer? I've got cancer. I want to live victoriously. I rise every day. And guess what I say? Cancer, you will not beat me. Cancer, God is going to intervene here. Cancer, God's going to make me victorious. Cancer, within a few weeks, guess what? There will be no more of you. Cancer, God's going to speed this process up, and I'll never die of you. And then you die of cancer. Uh-oh. You've got an unfaithful child, a prodigal child. You've been trying to bring them to Christ for years and years and years. Now you get Joel's message, right? Just start speaking words of faith. I declare this child will come back. And he never, ever comes back, folks. False hope, is it not? What if your business does not prosper? What if you don't receive that 4-year scholarship? What if you don't ever get wealthy? What if your business doesn't do well? It's false hopes, isn't it? And here's the problem, folks. Whose fault is it? Whose fault is it? Here Joel says what? All you got to do is speak words of faith, and guess what? It'll happen. Trust in the promises of God and it'll happen. And it never happens. Whose fault is it? It's God's fault, isn't it? No. Old Joel Osteen won't blame God for none of this. You think he will? I don't think he'll blame God. Guess whose fault it'll be? It'll be yours. You didn't stay focused enough on words of faith. You didn't endure long enough. You didn't trust enough. You gave up too soon. It's all your fault. If you'd really done it, guess what? It would have happened. Now guess what I'm living? I'm living a guilt-trip one. Because I didn't do what needed to be done. Folks, my problem with Joel Osteen is more than his being a motivational speaker. You know that? Because that's all he is. He's a positive thinker, motivational speaker. That's what he tries to do. Get individuals to live positive, good lives, abundant lives. My problem with Joel Osteen is that he is a false teacher. Okay? Folks, watch these next few points. No one is acceptable to God as long as he stays in his sin, is it? Can't happen. It's an impossibility. Secondly, one is not acceptable to God having obeyed a man-made plan of righteousness. And there's tons of those out there. And Joel Osteen's preaching one. You can't be saved by that kind of a plan. Watch this last one. One is not acceptable if he falls away from the true gospel of Christ and then turns and accepts a false gospel like the one Joel Osteen's presenting, folks. And guess what? There's some Christians who've left the faith. They're hooked up in this kind of stuff right here. And they love it to death. Love it to death. Folks, man is lost in sin, is he not? And man stands in need of the saving blood of Jesus Christ in his life. That's the good news, isn't it? Jesus died to pay my debt of sin and iniquity. And it's a simple plan. It's found in the gospel of Jesus Christ, Romans 1, 16 and 17. And when I obey that form of doctrine, Romans 6, 17 and 18, I am then made free from sin. And I become the servant of righteousness. And all I have to do then is live faithfully unto death, and I will receive a crown of life. Revelation 2, verse 10. Folks, the message is so simple, is it not? I don't need to stand out here giving individuals false hope about this world. This world and all that's in it is going to come to an end, is it not? It's all going to be burned up. It's not going to matter how much I had, how wealthy I was, where I went to school, where I didn't go to school. It makes no difference. What makes a difference is if I've been saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That's what matters. And we need to take that message to the world and let the world hear that message, don't we? Have you been redeemed by the blood of Jesus? I want you to do that tonight. Through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism in water for the forgiveness of sins. Dear Christian, do you need to repent of sins and ask God to forgive you? Won't you come as together we stand and sing?